Good afternoon, and we are back to the Home Run, your Drive Time show, this wonderful afternoon. As always, we're here to keep you company and your on your way home or wherever it is you are headed. We understand, well, it's generally understood because of how the, let me call it, an economic schedule is drawn up in a lot of countries, including ours, where this time is where people are either, you know, on their way home or planning to knock off. So, which is why we like to tap ourselves on the shoulder every now and then. Every time that we get here, you know, we get in this studio and say, okay, we are the Drive Time show. We have to keep them company until they get home. So, time to, while you unwind. Thank you for choosing us as your unwinding show and winding radio station here on Eagle FM. And as always, we don't disappoint. We are here yet again with another wonderful topic. Albeit today is more, we're talking about money and African plans, specifically the climate mitigation strategy plans that Africa seems to be making so far. But before we continue,
it's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Vintook Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia, on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Vintook Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Vintook Beer, and you could win. Vintook, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Lipuranenge no wapogwa eva tere urikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opo.
And welcome back. It's we are in September, guys. We are basically mid September, and December is closing fast. So for some reason, from the middle of the year towards the end of the year, then you are, I mean, we witness a lot of events, like events just line up. It's one event after another. You have a diplomatic engagement there, diplomatic engagement that, international this, somewhere there. So we had earlier this month, using the term second session would make it sound like they all took place in the same year. But this year, well, in preparation, obviously, I think just on time, or what can easily be described, but it was not described that way. There's, you know, those are just my English words that I'm gluing somewhere in between trying to describe this whole thing of what is going to be today's topic. For those of you that did not see our poster, please put in the effort. Put in the effort to familiarize yourself with our social media on Eagle FM. And tomorrow is Friday, and you know what that means? It means the e-villager newspaper that comes out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and you can subscribe to it by sending your phone number and email address to 08120041440 08120041440 for your local and international updates. Like I pointed out earlier, we have a lot, you know, from the mid-year, you know, from the middle of the year all towards the end. It's usually the beginning. Let me just say first the 2 or 3 months of the year where you have one event after another, left, right, and center. Then there's a little bit of a, you know, event drought somewhere for a couple of months, 2, 3 months all the way to June, and then things kick off and it's just one event after another, both locally and internationally. So, for those of us that work into the, that are in the line of work where we basically have to go through these events and basically share them with our listeners, with our listeners, we don't run out of material because they just keep flowing in. The topic that is going to be central to today's discussion is based on an event that took place this year, that's in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. For those of you that follow the COP, Conference of Parties, where where countries come together to discuss climate agreements, climate you know, efforts or mitigation strategies. What is your country doing? What is my country doing? You know, how much progress have we made? And where are we headed from now moving forward? That is the COP conference of parties. COP 29 took place in Baku, Azerbaijan last year. The one for this year is going to take place in Brazil. Now, un momento, si puede, is going to take place in Brazil, but, yeah, and that's in November. Yeah, it's going to take place in Brazil, in November. Now, while, it turns out that there's an African version of that. I know. I just, discovered it about 2 weeks ago. That, you know, because the last time the ACS took place, that is the Africa Climate Summit. This is more like casually called ACS 25, aka Africa Climate Summit 25. And it's not the 25th summit they've had. This is the second one. It's just that it took place in 2025. The first one took place in Nairobi, Kenya, back in 2023, and it was given someone the same moniker of Africa Climate Summit 23. Now, you know how we say everyone has a plan for Africa except Africans? Well, that may not be entirely true, because Africa seemed to be, making its own plans when it comes to, climate, mitigation strategies, because, recently. So, how we say Africa, everyone has plans for Africa except, Africans. Well, it turns out when it comes to climate mitigation strategy, we are making a little bit of plans.
A little?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Abiy Ahmed was bragging about his dam.
I knew that was going to come from the moment he stepped.
Abiy Ahmed was bragging about his dam, Helmut. Do you know what's the best thing he said? Yeah, at the end of this year, we will be opening up or launching Africa's, what? Africa's, he said something, it's sort of like an African thing, and all I could see it, but you almost caused a water war between Sudan and Egypt and yourself. However, I am impressed with the replanting initiative. The what? 3 billion trees.
Yep.
3 billion seedlings, he said.
That they planted
to help with cooling down the
reforestation.
It's technically reforestation, yeah. And what do you call it? Regreening. Yeah. Because it helps with the cooling down measures specifically in the Ethiopian landscape, yeah. Rural areas, which also contributed towards rural wealth creation, specifically like, creating markets for rural farmers and rural producers. Good stuff. That's a very good thing. However, if you go read the literature, there's always a caveat. What did you expect? If you go read the documents that they've got,
yeah,
the African Union.
Yeah.
I know you also read the documents,
yeah.
But there's one thing that they said there: Africa must take the charge of championing donor-funded financing. Hey, wait, let me read the sentence. I don't want to sit here lying to our listeners. It's always a good thing to just, read it specifically like it comes from the source itself.
From the horse's mouth.
That's also why I ignored that term, Helmut, because it's not actually the horse's mouth. But so.
Look, we're not saying the Prime Minister is a horse.
So the outcomes that they listed.
Yeah.
This is now obviously at the African Union Climate Summit number 2, which was this event,
yeah,
was to position Africa as a unified force to influence the COP30, the G20. Now, G20 is apparently started somewhere in South Africa. Or was it the ministers? It's the something ministers that are starting now in this week. They've begun in this week.
Isn't the General Assembly ongoing?
Which one? The UN one?
Yeah.
Now, the UN one started from the 9th of September, yeah. but the heads of state was starting on Monday.
Yeah.
That's why our president is flying tomorrow
to be
in New York, you know, ready and everything on Monday. The G20 ministers, but there's a ministerial event that has started now in South Africa because South Africa was hosting the G20 summit.
Yeah.
So now they're saying position Africa to influence COP30, G20, and the General Assembly. Hence the reason why this discussion, Helmut, has to feature before General Assembly starts next week. Then, to drive concrete reforms to scale grant-based climate... Yeah! There's the sentence. Drive concrete reforms to scale grant-based climate financing. It doesn't say drive concrete reforms from member-funded...
Let me make it worse.
Endeavors.
Let me make it worse. Where's the awesome Prime Minister speech?
Which Abiy Ahmed's one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
We must make Africa the place where the world sees climate goals achieved. We are very good at English. I'll give us that.
Some of us even, you know, they touched up on it.
Oh, yeah. Where reforestation is not a pilot project, but a culture. Where a million climate smart agriculture feeds millions. Really? Where a climate smart agriculture feeds millions. Mm. To achieve this, because he says a bunch of other stuff somewhere in between, my favorite part is, to achieve this, our partnership must evolve. We ask our global partners not to fund us because we are impacted, but invest in us because we are visionaries. And then they turn around and say, you know what? What we are looking forward to here is donor funding. Now,
we love your money.
We love your money. Yeah. Invest
your money
not
is the
freely
best.
Donation, hand it over.
Yeah.
Like,
now, here, once again, Helmut, I'll bring you back full circle to the endeavors of industrialization on this continent. If you go look at the broader, okay, the Marshall Plan that the Americans initiated to help rebuild Europe, ne? Western Europe and other parts of Europe, before obviously the Iron Wall or the, what they call it, the Iron Curtain fell down, in the Cold War scenario of things. And then obviously the Soviets did the same thing. The Warsaw Pact was the, response to NATO agreement, but there was another Eastern European agreement that they signed as communist and socialist governments, you know, like a rebuilding strategy, but the financing comes from the Soviet Union, from Moscow.
Yeah.
So you saw these rebuilding aspects from a disaster phase. There was war. There was death. There was destruction. Now people, you need to bring back the services. You need to bring back the infrastructure. You need to invest here. You need to invest there. And you need to do all these things. But when you come to an African context, just yesterday we had the governance discussion, ne? Namibia, you can technically say Namibia is like this textbook template of a sound country. Yes, it has a few issues here and there. You know, nothing that a good panel beater can sort out. It's not a mechanic, it's a panel beater situation. And then, you know, Namibia still goes on with its way of life. And then it tries to improve slowly but surely various aspects of its way of life. Now, I told you, Helmut, that the 2012 industrial policy that former President Geingob left when he, you know, obviously passed away, but when he was Minister of Industrialization and Trade, that policy is technically still active, even though the minister that was in charge of it was dissolved and absorbed into two other ministries. So the 2012 policy is still active. The industrialization policy. Because we still see remnants of it being reflected in NDP6, saying Namibia has to use its agri-processing or achieve industrialization through agri-processing. And we've got to achieve industrialization in other parts. So it's literally things that you and I have spoken about here that are resonating into NDP6. But nowhere do we say we want donor funding to feed all these things.
Look, when it comes to funding, there are two projects that were inaugurated this year on this continent that actually made me proud in terms of the progress that we are making as a continent when it comes to financing our own developmental projects. First of all, what's that 1,000-page document?
The midterm expenditure framework.
Is it midterm or medium term?
Medium term, sorry.
Yeah. The medium term expenditure framework showed us that we as a country, when it comes to developmental, pretty much developmental initiatives, we have, about 80% of the finance is coming from internally.
Yeah.
Yeah. About 8% of it. And then, Tanzania that inaugurated the John Magufuli Bridge. And they were, one of the reasons why they were proud of this mega project that is mega national project of Tanzania is that, it was funded by either 99% or 100%, percent of the money that was used on the project came from inside the country.
Mm.
So they didn't have to go out there and, practice Mozambique. And now you have, and then you have Ethiopia also with their, Grand Renaissance Dam.
And then he says, it's a beacon of what? Some sort of a green.
It's sort of like someone that has just been engaged. They will bring their ring in any conversation. But commercial break. If you just got engaged, congratulations. We're not talking about you.
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original, or Vintook Lemon. Let's cheers to connecting, to moments shared and good vibes, anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. That iconic taste of Heineken. Loved in Germany, Amsterdam, Argentina, and Namibia. That crisp and balanced taste of Heineken. Loved around the world. Enjoy that refreshing thirst. Ah, only made possible by Heineken's unique 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the...
Welcome back to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. It's 16 minutes past the hour of 5. Before we continue, let's take a live read.
Namibia, are you ready to win big? Coca-Cola is giving away up to 1 million Namibian dollars in prizes. Every week, one lucky winner walks away with 10,000 Namibian dollars cash. All you have to do is grab your favorite Coke, Fanta, Sprite, Stony, or Twist in 2-liter, 1.25-liter, or 600ml bottles. Look under the yellow cap, dial *142*45845#, punch in your code, follow the prompts to enter, and just like that, you could be our next big winner. Refresh, enjoy, and win with Coca-Cola. T's and C's apply. Go to the Coca-Cola social media pages to watch the video on how to enter the competition.
Welcome back. We continue. Where are we? The pride of the positive steps that we are taking in the direction of what is commonly known by a lot of people as economic independence, because that's going to emanate from if you want something to work for you, you will have to fund it.
Of course, and you have to be that change maker.
Yep.
Yeah,
you'll have to fund it. Now, the confusing information here is one where we are talking about. We don't want to be, to be seen as dependent on donor funding type of developmental planners. We want to be seen as this environment that that is the best to invest in. Now, how do we create that employment? How do we create that employment? No, environment, not employment.
Employment is there.
Employment how do we,
is there.
How do we create this environment? Which is somewhat, begins to ring up a lot of questions. Look, this whole discussion,
I'm so glad, you know, I'm so glad that it was held, I'm so glad that it was held before COP30, which is coming in November. And it's also based on the environmental mitigation strategies. And this is just the Africans, we Africans asking ourselves, what part are we going to play? Of course, most, if not all of us are UN member states.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that means we, you
except
know.
Except for Eritrea.
Yeah. Yeah, Eritrea is like, yeah, you get out of here. Now, that president is something else.
Yeah, it's apparently a country stuck in time because it's got like, it's known as like the Little Italy in Africa.
They speak Italian?
No. Yeah, a little bit, but they've got like, Italian buildings, you know, from yesteryear in the capital.
Yeah, they did interact with the Romans, like Ethiopia, and which was basically that whole.
No, it's our.
It was.
It's the.
Was it Ethiopia or Abyssinia at the time?
Abyssinia was Ethiopia, Eritrea, and Somalia together.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it was our homeboy that was the. The other silent homeboy that was the Austrian painter's buddy.
Oh, best buddy. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So he most went and wanted, you know, glory for Italy and then went on this also colonization campaign in North Africa. I know that there is record that somewhere before the Berlin Conference of 1884, Italy did have some sort of a foothold somewhere in Africa.
Mm.
But just as quickly they had landed, just as quickly they were bounced out. Because the British were right next door to them. The British were upstairs in Egypt. And then the British just bounced them out. You know, obviously you get, it's the same thing that happened with, like, in Namibia.
Yeah.
The Germans were probably luckier than the Italians. They held on to Namibia for so long. The conference gets established. They must got hold of Namibia technically after the conference. Got hold of the conference. I got hold of Namibia. First World War comes along, so they've, you know, obviously enjoyed like a decent 20 years. Obviously doing their things, you know, that happened here. All the negatives. And then First World War comes along. They get bounced out of Namibia within 4 months. They lose Namibia. You've been here for 20 years, you know, doing your things, and you lose Namibia. From the South Africans, because they thought it would be the British, the actual British coming along.
Yeah.
But it was actually the South Africans. And then the British had the agreement with the Portuguese, because the Portuguese were in Angola. The Portuguese tried to push from the north. The Portuguese were sent back. Then the South Africans, so technically you could think that the Portuguese were literally the decoy attack. And then the South Africans with Jan Smuts and, Louis Botha. So remember the takeaway that was there in Windhoek West? Louis Botha shop. Yeah. That was the general's name. He became, no, he wasn't the president. He didn't become the de facto president. It was Jan Smuts. Cause Smuts was the guy that had to go to the Paris Peace Conference to negotiate. Obviously there are terms and stuff, but then South Africa was literally like New Zealand, Australia and Canada. They called them, affiliate territories under the British crown.
And then they steal?
No. They are now a republic, full republic, 1994.
And then they have, Australia.
No, Australia and New Zealand and Canada are still the
Canada,
same.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other tax havens that you find across the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Tax havens.
Yeah. Yeah, there's an interesting conversation I bumped into about British tax havens. Apparently I was told, technically you can't use those terms. I was like, hello. People send money to those things. To
political correctness is not what we do here.
You can't come and correct me on an action. Really.
Bottom line, okay, I really like the political language and, it basically goes to show how easy it is to get lost in technicality. Financial mismanagement. No, he stole money.
Yeah, and
money was stolen. What financial mismanagement?
But that's why you've got to love lawyers and accountants, because they get to the fact. Those two guys, Nehamut, what people don't understand is lawyers and accountants.
Yeah, they ask the questions.
Not just that they ask the questions, they're literally bound by a country's laws.
Yeah.
So that anything they sign off on, even if it's your financial manager of your company, that guy at least must be, are qualified, you know, they must have the basics behind them of being an accountant at least.
Yeah.
If that person signs off on things, those are legal documents.
Binding.
Legal documents that can be used in a court of law. If, you know, if disputes have to go to a court.
Yeah.
And that's the severity of things. So people that don't understand company law of Namibia, the Company Act itself, just know that. Don't put your cousin there if your cousin just has business admin. As financial manager, please employ someone that has an accounting degree.
Nah, just put them then. Give them all the imaginary qualifications.
Oh, okay. You do know now that if anyone that calls themselves an accountant or a bookkeeper have to register with the PAAB.
Mm, yeah.
The SOE. It was also an SOE.
Yeah.
Because apparently I have a friend that works there. I asked her why did they bring out this piece of this, it was a gazette or something like 3 years back, just after COVID. I asked her, why did you guys bring out this particular move? First, they were first based in the Auditor General's office, and then they moved out because they needed their own premises and own building and stuff. And then she motivated, well, Dwight, because there are so many people in Namibia who supposedly front as a bookkeeper, who supposedly front as a accountant.
Front?
Front. Ew. And then they have not even finished the degree. Then they did not even finish a 3-year degree or diploma on a recognized, accredited institution.
Undercover.
So what this means that if the person that needs a loan that has a business entity or whatever particular venture that generates income or monies wishes to do certain particular things, or they submit certain documents that need to be that are requested from banks or from NAMRA even or from BIPA them, then you've got these people that sign like an authority, like a financial manager authority.
Mm.
And then, like you said, you know, then it's people that had imaginary, you know,
WhatsApp qualified.
WhatsApp qualifications applied to them. And then the person that has a genuine interest in running the business realizes that they can literally be taken to court for having someone that literally impersonates a role that is not supposed to be impersonated. Look, you, the business owner, you don't have to impersonate anything. It's just when it comes to the
qualifying individuals that you need to do
your financial activity,
the finances especially.
That person should not be a joke, and it shouldn't be. Yes, maybe if you can employ your wife, yeah, sure. As long as she knows.
That's a bad idea.
But your wife will always work in your best interest if she knows that the business is making money. I don't know what wives you guys are meeting, Helmut, along the way.
What?
Helmut?
I've had a man going through a divorce telling me, never get married, ever.
I don't know.
I was this close to laughing, but
it depends on how he approached his marriage situation, because the templates I've had in life.
Yeah.
Like my mom's parents, my grandparents. My mom kept telling us, my grandmother used to tell my granddad, dude, you employ your family in the shop. You don't employ outsiders in your business. If don't get into partnerships with people, if it's not by your own means. So that's the kind of wife, if you're going doing a business. Oh, sorry guys for the slightly misogynistic discussion, but yeah, that's the kind of partner in life, you know, as a heterosexual man that you obviously want to be subscribing to. That gives you that motivational oomph. But if you're a guy that shows up here and says, hey, baby, I've got money for days, of course she'll just marry you for the money. And of course she'll, you know, when, as modern society goes.
Well, but to be fair,
she'll initiate the divorce and, you know, run away, gallivant with all properties. Since you decide to go, yes, I love you so much. Let's, you know, do it in community of property.
Oh dear. Oh, whoa.
You do know that is,
that
is the default. Agreement.
Unless she really is your oxygen. That's a terrible name. There's a...
Look, no one has to be Bonnie and Clyde, you know. We're not robbing banks here.
There's one snippet of a WhatsApp
you know, a text that surfaced on the internet a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, I think it's a, I saw that thing last year.
Yeah.
Of a, you know, of a contact name labeled, you know, my oxygen, and the SMS that was the, you know, that was sent to a homeboy was, it's over between us. Yeah. And the guys in the comment section went savage. It was like, homeboy stopped breathing.
Oh my goodness.
Oxygen, yeah. Go, no oxygen. Now, let's, while we're on this subject of money, let's drag it back to, let's drag it back to Ethiopia, Addis Ababa, earlier this month.
Yeah. Oh, no, it still applies to Addis. Remember that Addis wants to, Addis, or everyone that was at Addis, is championing that we should continuously tap into donor money. Amut, it is really a sad day. But yeah, you were still saying, Amut.
Oh, it is a sad day.
Oh, yes,
when I came across that, I went straight to the United Nations, not to the United Nations, to the African Union's website. And then I just decided to take the very juicy part of how the organization is struggling financially.
Mm.
And it says, and I quote, this is the AU themselves, the organization is currently not financed in a predictable, sustainable, equitable or accountable manner, which is making it heavily dependent on donor funding to run its programs and operations. And this is further compounded by your favorite partner. Compounded by the fact that, under, you know, less than 40% of member states do not, about 40% of member states do not pay their yearly contributions to the institution.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
There's no price like the ShopRite price. That's why we're committed to bringing you lower prices on all the essentials you need, like 750 mils Rite brand sunflower seed oil for only 27 Namibian dollars 99, and 2 kg Rice King long grain parboiled rice, only 39 Namibian dollars 99. Never pay more than the ShopRite price, valid until 21 September 2025. Only at ShopRite. Catch Ready Steady Cook on One Africa, proudly brought to you by ShopRite Namibia.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Welcome back. So, with the funding, I'm so proud of us that we have started making plans. But we are, you know, we keep circling back to the same thing over and over again. We need funding. We need money to execute these plans.
Mm.
Everyone can make a plan. What was that Mike Tyson quote? Everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face.
Actually, I've got a better statement than that. There's okay, sorry, Helmut. There's not a competition of quotes who knows the best quotes, but they are similar.
Yeah.
It was an American general, was it General Patton from the Second World War, but he was in the European theater. He said, it's indispensable to plan, but on the day of the fight, don't rely on those plans. Just be prepared, because the downside is if you show up without a plan, you get
you are more cooked than you.
You are more cooked yeah, than whether you didn't show. One. Yeah. So in both scenarios, yes, both of them are right, because Mike Tyson's one is also make the plan until you get
yes,
punched.
Take it.
Until you get punched. So how do you react
all
after
all the strategy flies out of
how do you react after the plan? You know, do you get, do you literally mean you delete to zero with those plans?
Then you start to improvise. That's why I'm not joining any hand-to-hand combat. But, before we continue, let's take, live read. Get to you save today where every penny counts. Pay only $139.99 for sealed Lavis premium premium disposable nappies, $6.99 for 8 Nina sanitary pads, $19.99 for 200 milliliter clay body lotion, 1 kilo bag sunlight 5-in-1 washing powder cost only $34.99 at USave, and a large tin Right Brand dog food. For just the $26.99. You save. We all save at You Save. You can make the plans. What I have a problem sort of like, trying to figure out is more like looking forward to how this, you know, because only time will tell how these things is gonna go. First of all, the first Africa Climate Summit was held in 2023. Mm. And that was the inaugural one. This is the second one.
Yeah.
Last year there was none.
Which technically speaks to that they are now, as an African union, as an African body.
Yeah.
We're now trying to take this discussion of climate serious.
I think it can be looked at in the same way that we are, you know, the African Union this year with their theme decided to look at reparations, because for a very long time, it has been each and every individual country on the African continent trying to reach out to its former colonial power to have reparation discussions. This year we decided, how about we just come together and then, you know, just make this giant team. And then we came also to, you know, we ran into some serious obstacles from day one, where we are learning that some countries are still low key still occupied, because they have this very, you know, they have this questionable ties, especially in financial terms. Especially when it comes to France and its former colonies. Mm. They have this financial arrangement that would be somewhat very tricky to navigate when you're making those discussions. Mm. And then you have countries like Namibia that seems to have made headways in those discussions.
Yeah.
Now, the question is, do you let those countries that, that seem to have made headways go ahead and conclude, or do you downgrade everyone so that they reach a lowest point where you can accommodate everyone and then move, or you know, and then move forward together? So that's a giant question. But approaching the, you know, negotiation reparations negotiations together as an as a bloc, as the African Union, instead of individual countries, it's a very, it's an interesting way of approaching the problem.
Mm.
Now, whether or not it's going to work, and how, what are the obstacles? Of course, every plan you make, there are going to be obstacles. It's just a matter of how are you going to navigate them as you work your way towards your goal.
Yeah.
So when it comes to climate, on the other hand, the Paris climate agreements were signed. Basically, if you are a UN member state, you subscribe to the, you know, to the Paris agreements. Now, that means Namibia can basically, and every year they have to meet. Like, the last year they met in Baku, Azerbaijan. This year they're going to meet in Brazil, where every member state or every signatory to the Paris climate agreements will have to sort of like, present what they are doing as a country. To participate, or more like as their national contribution towards climate mitigation strategies.
Mm.
Now,
instead of doing it as an individual state on the African continent, in 2023 we decided, you know what, how about we just come together as a continent? Yeah, we have an international climate mitigation, mitigation methods or discussions going on a Paris level, on a COP level, but we can have a block-based one.
Yeah.
And then we came to the very same problem that the Secretary General, that's giving the Secretary General a headache when it comes to the SDGs. Where's the money going to come from?
But here's the thing, Helmut. There is a dimension that seems to be slightly fishy in its particular scenario. Being
is it a COP or Africa Climate Summit?
On the financing discussion that Guterres and his one Deputy Secretary General, the guy for financing for development, the guy from Paraguay or Uruguay, I keep forgetting his name. They love citing that there are these unsustainable loans that developing countries had taken pre-1990 or pre-2000. But then here's the weird scenario of this, Helmut. Like you and I showcased in terms of our discussions, here in the home run, you go look at what those loans have been used for. Mozambique is our biggest example, our biggest glaring example that sits just smack bang in our face. Mozambique convinced Swiss banks and American banks through the World Bank and the IMF, we wish to empower the fishing sector of Mozambique. And then everyone was like, hey, that sounds like a good idea. Proposals were written, everything was set up, money lands. The money just disappears.
It goes into private pockets.
And people are driving vurpas, like you said last time. Everyone is driving a vurpa. The finance minister decides to become a citizen of Johannesburg and Sandton, trying to live it up. Because it's $2 billion that they borrowed. And $2 billion in a Namibian context is 40 billion Namibian dollars. Helmut, how do you splurge 40 billion? Okay, let's use the lingo that exists. How do you steal and spend 40 billion? Just like that. And you decide to become an honorary citizen of the greater Johannesburg.
And what's worse now, I think this is where sometimes we don't really think things through. Like, it's either we don't think, both ways of looking at it are just scary. It's either we don't think things through.
Yeah.
Or we are just, very good at throwing caution to the wind and going with, whatever the consequences, I don't care as long as I'm benefiting.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what happened in Mozambique because, they borrowed 2.something billion.
Yeah.
And, to sort of like, invest in mostly the biggest excuse they used was to revamp their maritime infrastructure. They wanted ships and everything.
Yeah.
Now, except as soon as the money landed, then the people now these are the people that were these were the people that were custodians of this money on behalf of the state.
Yep.
On behalf of the citizens.
Yep.
They decided to pocket this money and then the whole thing went bust in 2016, and then things just went downhill from there. Because you and I have pointed out several times that when investors found out that this is what the government of this country had done.
Mm.
Most of the investors left.
Because.
Why?
The return rate.
Yep. They knew who was going to pay it back.
Mm?
They knew that, first of all, this money was stolen here. The, whatever financial institution this money was borrowed from, they will come asking for their money.
Mm?
And when they do, taxes are going to go through the roof.
Mm?
And guess who's going to be taxed? My business. No. So they lost. Literally billions of dollars in borrowed money, and then they lost another million, if not billions, of dollars in investment opportunities.
Exactly, and then they lost further in terms of revenue creation opportunities.
Now,
which is the future earnings through taxes that they would have earned.
Exactly. Now, yeah. at this point, you can't help but ask yourself, like, you can't just help but pause and ask yourself, like, was it worth it? Because it's going to take Mozambique decades to recover from that scandal.
Yeah, I'd like to know, even like here in a Namibian context, you know.
I think when it comes to self-enrichment, we become really dumb because the people that were involved into the Mozambique's tuna bond scandal are not very different from the people that were involved in the fish oil scandal here in Namibia. They are all very accomplished academically. In other words, they knew exactly what they were doing. They decided to do it anyway. Because, well, I need an iPhone with 2 SIM cards. But the thing is...
Which still has not been created.
Nope. Apple must look into that.
It's a new technology venture there.
Although, you know, if I were him, I would have, I would patent it. You know, copyright it so that Apple can buy it from me.
It's a tricky venture, Helmut. It's a tricky venture, you know.
Some of these things are a really dumb idea. And who is this? Is it Equatorial Guinea's president's son / vice president?
Was he vice president? The one that was arrested in Paris?
Yeah.
He was the minister of oil. Or mining?
Yeah,
something?
I think now he's the vice president.
He got released? He got released from the Paris.
Ngema?
Huh?
Ngema? That Ngema guy?
I don't know how much because I do.
The one that just lost a case. I think it was, this is how the whole state basically lost a case at the International Court of Justice.
Yeah.
Recently. Because of the multi-billion dollar mansion that was confiscated by the French government.
Steady Cook Co. One Africa. To eat your anuma panduro Co. Shoprite Namibia.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Welcome back. You are still listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. And before we continue, let's take a live read.
Vavitcha University 2026 applications are now open for the Faculty of Health Sciences, and the following programs are on offer. Certificate in Pharmacy Level 5, Certificate in Health Science Foundation Level 5, Certificate for Enrolled Nurse, Midwife or Accoucheur Level 6, Diploma in Environmental Health Science Level 6, Bachelor of Social Work Honours, Bachelor of Nursing and Midwifery Science Honours, Postgraduate Diploma in Community Health Nursing Level 8, and Postgraduate Diploma in Mental Health Nursing Level 8. Application fee is $230 Namibian. Application deadline ends on 30 November 2025. For more information, call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462. Vavitcha University, where everyone is an achiever.
Vavitcha University, where everyone is an achiever. We have 13 minutes to the hour of 6. This is Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM, your drive time show. So, in 2021, this is a recent reporting on the case, sort of like giving a background on the case by France 24. It's about, coming out for last week. In 2021, France top appeal court gave Teodoring, oldest son of long-standing president Teodoro Obiang Nguema, Basongo a 3-year suspended sentence. That's a suspended sentence. 3-year suspended sentence, and you know, it's not thrown in jail. You're one of those, we now declare you, but then you can just go and chill.
So that's how you...
Because you are loaded.
Yeah, that's how you came back.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They actually tried to block the legal process.
They
tried to use the UN. Equatorial Guinea tried to apply to the UN.
They went through. They tried to... that's why I'm telling you, power, dude, power.
If the oil monies flow.
Yeah.
Which I hope it doesn't happen in Namibia, even though Namibia does already have a hint of the Dutch curse already lingering about.
A 3-year suspended sentence and 30 million euros in fine.
Which he obviously paid in cash. Where's my checkbook? Here you go.
That's the reason why Africa cannot finance its own problems.
Yeah,
because exactly the reason why.
Because they're buying properties in Paris.
Yep. The court convicted Obiang of plundering tens of millions of dollars from oil-rich but poverty-stricken country to fund his jet-set lifestyle in France. Now this is a background that is that News 24 is bringing up because of how the case ended with the International Court of Justice, not the International Criminal Court. Because after this, one of those properties that was confiscated by the French government was a multi-million dollar mansion. That is owned by the same guy. Now, the thing is, that property, now, the argument that was made by the, by the guy was that, no, this is a part of the embassy. Only for investigators to find out that, the embassy is way separate from, the embassy and the property are on two different streets, basically. And then the conclusion that was reached is a very simple one. The ICJ agreed with the French government to basically say, what you're doing is illegal. And we don't agree with you. Now, Equatorial Guinea had asked the International Court of Justice to issue an emergency order to prevent France selling the luxury building also seized in 2012, which boasts a cinema, a spa, as well as marble and gold taps. You gotta love Africans. But the ICJ, the International Court of Justice, judges threw out the request. And after closely examining the argument of the parties, the court concluded that the Equatorial Guinea has not demonstrated that it possesses a plausible right to the return of the building. So for these reasons, the court, by 13 votes to 2, rejects the request. The request for the indication of the provision measures. Now that's basically the court, the judgment that was, the judgment that was reached by the court. The court, the government of Equatorial Guinea, basically at this point, I mean, homeboy is a prime minister. Prime minister, vice president, one of the two, wanted the building, wanted that golden tap building. See, Ntombi was right. Money is not a problem. The problem is how to use it.
Well, if you even look at like the outcomes that these guys were talking about at this climate summit.
Yeah.
Okay. I mentioned one of the outcomes already. The next outcome was to showcase African-led climate solutions with potential for global impact. Now, it does not mean anything that you sit here talking about. I'm doing these impacts if the world's most populous countries on the world or the world's most populous countries around the world outside of Africa, there are two of them that have a billion plus and they are consuming energy.
Yep.
Like nothing on this planet. And then you've got countries that are the world's biggest coal producers, gas producers and oil producers, bigger than most of the African countries on the continent. Namibia still has to produce gas and oil, Helmut. And you've got a country like Russia that literally that is the top producer like, in anything
why
mining.
Why are we going to come to you? Like, what are we going to come to you for?
Exactly.
We have everything.
Then you sit with Norway. Norway sits with so much gas. They are currently, have you heard of the scramble for the scramble for the North Pole?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Canada, Norway, Denmark, Russia, Sweden, Iceland, the US. They all want to stake a claim from the North Pole because they've already done their seismic surveying of, guess what? Resources. Oil and gas. Once again. Because the North Pole is a way smaller landmass with a very large ice shelf around it versus the South Pole, which is a landmass. It's literally a continent on it by itself with a thin ice shelf around it.
Yeah, so, no, I don't want that, please.
So the South Pole is used for a lot of scientific
research,
research and endeavors and drilling and exploration, where the North Pole is now being sort of like this resource scramble taking place. I mean, not even China and Japan are even challenging for the North Pole pieces because you already have Russia and the US and Norway and all the other Arctic nations because they are considered Arctic nations, nations that border onto the Arctic itself, which is the North Pole. Now you get into the discussion here, Helmut. The AU, like you said, has an issue with identifying internal financing. Now, Helmut, if we all agreed on a value, a contribution that each country has to give per year to keep the AU going. I mean, what was so wrong, Helmut, if when we were all first year students on university, we told each other, no cover, no eat. No pain, no eat. You remember that if we had to go buy lunch?
Yeah.
You know, everyone would chuck in with a $5, a $10 here. And then it becomes like a monumental $50 where you can get a 2 liter Coke, a portion of chips and some lovely brechens out, you know, fresh brechens, super fresh. Everyone chucks in with, you know, with what they've got. And then suddenly you can make it happen on the smallest micro level where the security of financing is not there. But a country that always has financing, you will always generate revenue. You can't commit to paying a stipend every year to the AU. I mean, then we really have to put in question, what is the AU's purpose then? We really have to start asking these particular questions because 50 years on, we are supposedly older than the EU.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't reach a common consensus of saying, hey, listen, you must pay your contribution to the organization for it to be effective. How do we achieve our goals? But now we want to put the best foot front or forward. We want to sort of like have the best projects on the continent with donor funding. So that means
we're making plans
with other people's money.
Exactly.
So China can tell us on the AU, you must look in this direction with this money that I'm giving you. The EU can tell you, you must look in this direction with the money we're giving you. The US can tell you, you must look in this direction for the money I'm giving
you. You know what we are asking for in all this, confusion?
Yeah.
We want to be independent. We do not want any external influence. Are you high? Anyone that's giving you money to fund stuff, that money is going to come with conditions. And that's, that's not inherently wrong.
Of course.
Even right now, if there's a project that I need money for and I approach our own government and they give me that money, they're not just going to give me a blank check and go like, you know what, just go nuts. No! They will come with this and this and this and this you can do with this money and this and this and this you can't. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we went through, that we noticed when we went through the youth development projects.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where the money that was asked for to spend on business ventures were now being used to start different ventures, and some used a portion of that money to go to school.
Different ventures that were not agreed upon.
Exactly.
Remember.
We're not part of the initial agreement.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter where the money is going to come from. It's going to come with conditions.
Always.
If we, as a country, can't give our citizens money, you know, without conditions, like, why do we think, and this is just this is just pocket change. Mm. Why do you think multi-billion dollars is going to come with no conditions attached?
Who told people that? I really want to know these sentiments. Who told people you can get a loan without conditions? Have they ever seen what the bank does to the everyday person on the street? They ask you, please bring your salary, your payslip.
Yeah.
Please bring this, please bring that, please bring this.
Yeah.
And then you have to come and you can, those are conditions.
Yeah.
Prove the conditions. Because they want to know, can you, Dwight, pay back the money?
Because that's how this business works.
Yeah. So if they can't see on record, on paper, in black and white, Dwight cannot pay back the money, why do you think they will give you money?
Yeah. So look, man, you can't say, okay, first of all, we can't make plans and expect someone to fund those plans, and then the person that's funding the plans must get out of how, must not influence our political or economic affairs.
Mm.
Yeah, that's not gonna work.
Nope.
It's not gonna work.
It's
only going to work if you're funding your stuff yourself.
Of course.
If someone else is funding you, it's going to make rules that you have to abide by.
Or if you're going to be a partial funder, then you can at least have some room of freedom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
and that's usually what happens in many cases in the private sector. Those guys come with the one thing that can make the money. The financier that finances the money or makes the money available can say, okay, listen, you've got a wonderful idea. I'll put my money behind it. But these are the terms in terms of what you can do with this money. Voila, there you go.
But you want multi-billion dollars without any condition.
Without attachment.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Vintook Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Vintook Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Vintook Beer, and you could win. Vintook, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Welcome back. It's 6 o'clock on the dot. That brings us to the end of Home Run with Helmut and Dwight here on Eagle FM. Until tomorrow, same time, same place on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM. Sometimes you just have to read through this stuff so that you can just make your own analysis of just how nuts sometimes we sound when we say, you know, when we say this. And I feel like before we start hosting conferences of these things, we must just record them as an audio and then just listen to it like 2-3, listen to it 100 times. So we can just try to sort of like come to the realization of how nuts this whole thing sounds. We are making plans with the hope that someone else will finance those plans. Oh, I just had an epiphany. I know people that go out that will take the best shower and put on their best fragrances and their best clothes to go out and chill and expect someone to buy the beer. It turns out, on a global scale, those are African countries. You know, we make the plans and then go out there, cross our fingers and hope someone finances those plans. And we do run into, whether good Samaritans or people with their own ulterior motives, they do provide this funding, but also, this more often comes with a political influence. And then we start saying, oh no, they're interfering in my political affairs. What do you expect? Like, what exactly did you expect? But that's us, which is why I'm never getting into this, this whole politics thing just sounds very confusing. That's the, the least colorful word I could come up with. But until tomorrow, same time, same place on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM. And don't forget, tomorrow is Friday and the E-Villager comes out. You, please do subscribe for more, you know, for your Monday, Wednesday and Friday updates. Just straight in your WhatsApp inbox. All you have to do is send via WhatsApp your email address and phone number to 081-200-4144. 081-200-4144. Until tomorrow, you'll stay blessed and please do stay tuned for the next program. That's Business and Economic Segment with David.